Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
It's a big day, dude.
Dude, I know. It's Thursday.
It's not just any Thursday, dude.
Oh, yeah?
This is a milestone.
I know, dude.
You know, for people who have celebrating anniversaries, you know, they say year five, you're supposed to get them, what's five, a diamond?
Five?
Five is paper, copper?
Plastic?
Plastic.
Neoprene?
But 200, dude.
Yeah.
200? You know what 200 is when you're celebrating anniversary? Beer.
Woohoo!
Beer. Congratulations.
Congratulations,
dude.
Episode 200, we made it against all odds. I don't know what odds were really against us, because this is just the internet and we can release whenever we want.
This is a fulfilling relationship. I feel like we get each other, dude. You're my best friend, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Wow, dude.
This the rest of turned, my, my turned, hockey life with you.
It's turned into a rom-com.
So let's break up and then get back together again at the end of the episode.
In the third act, yeah. We'll do that.
Dude, very exciting. 200 episodes, and we talk about the Kings winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Damn it. Ah,
can you believe it? Oh.
Pancakes Penner wins the cup for the second time.
Oh, God. Wait, where did he win before?
The Ducks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Oh, God.
Kind of depressing. Mm. And I don't know. I think
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
I think I texted you that somewhere. Steve Bernier, Steve Bartman, and Chris Webber are on the island.
And Bill Buckner.
And Bill Buckner. Listen, I give the New Jersey team and apparently the media credit for not jumping all over Steve Bernier for his five-minute boarding penalty that was not even close. I mean, it was so bad.
It was
a terrible, terrible penalty. That led to three Kings goals and game over, basically.
Right.
So they're saying they don't blame him. I absolutely blame him.
That's a stupid penalty to take in the offensive zone. The puck wasn't even there. He rails Scuderi into the boards face first. I mean, I understand maybe he didn't think he was going to hit him square in the back, but what are you really doing there? Like, what? There's no advantageous outcome from that case. You're not going to get the puck out of that. The puck's already gone.
Doing what Steve Bernier's done for most of his career, which is not think. And this guy,
right.
It's kind of sad, actually, because he had gone from a player who was, you know, in the same breath as Ryan Clough in terms of, you know, a future power forward of the San Jose Sharks, became expendable, and has bounced around from team to team and was not even offered a contract in the offseason, had to go to New Jersey on a tryout, played in the AHL, and then ended up being a regular on their Stanley Cup run. He's playing in the Cup Finals, and then he costs them the game.
and he has about like a three-week stint where he's lauded as a part of this awesome fourth line of the Devils with Ryan Carter. And all of a sudden, oh, they're the key to the Devils' success of coming out of the East. And then they get to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I wouldn't say he necessarily erases that entire memory, but he certainly peed all over it. Let's put it that way. It was not... I mean, he really raised his stock by, you know, 500% in the playoffs. I mean, this is a guy who was a first-round draft pick by the Sharks, kicked around five or six teams, and was basically a marginal NHL player, then suddenly gained all this credibility by playing great on the fourth line, and then did something absolutely ridiculously stupid, and unfortunately to the Sharks fans, all too familiar, and taking that penalty. And who knows, he might be just exactly back where he started, a marginal NHL player that teams are not very excited about.
I'm sorry, if the Sharks were in the Cup and he was on my team, and that happened.
Yeah.
I would not want to see him back.
Ever again.
I wouldn't want to see him back. I would blame him Because that turned the whole game around.
It really did.
It turned the whole game around, and it was curtains on the Devils, who really had all the momentum going into game six. And
they did. They had the Kings thinking twice.
They sure did. Sort reminds me of Kyle Williams on the 49ers muffing two punts
in
the NFC Championship game. And people say, oh, you know, it's all right. We don't blame him. Hell yeah, I blame him. I blame him absolutely. Yeah. Catch the ball, please.
Right, you got one job to do.
You got one job to do. Catch the ball. And Steve Bernier, don't take a five-minute major. Kings murdered them in those 5 minutes, and it was over, dude. Kings raised the cup. Worst possible case scenario, right? Other than maybe the Ducks?
I was thinking about that for quite a while after the game was over. And, you know, as I tweeted at the time, it's awful to see the Kings win. But it's always a great thing to see the cup awarded. You see the emotion on the players' faces. I mean, it's hard to blame those players like individually, although I certainly try. I mean, this is what they've literally been spending their entire life trying to get to, and it's a great moment.
You have a soft spot for the Kings, too?
No, not for the Kings at all, but certainly for that moment for the players, and I don't want to take that away from them. But I did think about it quite a while after the game was over. Is this the worst team in the NHL from our perspective to win the cup? And my answer was absolutely yes. It's the worst. There's not a team that I would have felt worse about winning the cup other than the Los Angeles Kings. Not the Ducks, not the Vancouver Canucks, not the Stars, not the Red Wings. This is the worst possible outcome from purely a blow to the ego standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Because it's very apparent that we've been passed, you know.
Oh, yes.
We've been passed. The pecking order of the Pacific has changed dramatically with the Stanley Cup champions now sitting on top of the standings and on top of the Western Conference. And, you know, you've got to think that Dean Lombardi, he has some pieces that he needs to lock up. You know, I can't imagine they're going to let someone like Jared Stoll get away.
No.
Although, you know, if you're Stoll, you might be tempted to go to July 1st and, you know, someone might give him stupid money, you know. Because of...
Isn't he married to Rachel Hunter or something? I thought he had some LA wife.
I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway.
You got to think he's going to stay. I mean, will they even bother to keep Dustin Penner? You let him go, right? I mean, come on.
I don't
Replaceable.
Know.
Replaceable. The guy was such a bag of trash.
Yeah, it's
all
true.
Year. I mean, replaceable.
It's true.
But they've got some cap room to work with.
They got cap room and all their best players locked up.
And they've got a great trade piece in Jonathan Bernier. I mean, they do. So, you know, you've got the opportunity to just get your delicious riches even stronger. So, yeah, I think I would agree. As much as I hate the Ducks as a team, I think more. I hate their core players more.
Right.
This is the worst possible outcome for Sharks fans.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure. Especially seeing the former coach, Daryl Sutter. I felt no happiness in seeing him win.
Me either. Or Dean Lombardi.
But there were a few things that happened after the game that I did enjoy. And have nothing to do with the Kings winning. But did you see the press conference with Sutter and Jonathan Quick and his two-year-old daughter marching around with the Kings flag? She's like marching around during the question and answer session. And Quick is trying to answer questions and his daughter's like marching back and forth, like talking in gibberish. And then she's sitting on his lap and she's eating something. She starts choking, like for real, like choking. And then Quick like throws her over his shoulder and starts like slapping her back. And Daryl Sutter has like a towel out. This kid is like spitting up food in the middle of some guy's question, you know, it was like crazy. And then they like, she's fine. And then they let her walk away. And then like the mom lets her go again. And then she starts marching around the room again.
Oh my God.
It was ridiculous. Actually, it was funny. Like, but I mean, come on. It was cute the first time. It was getting old. And then Quick and Dustin Brown both dropping F-bombs on national television to Pierre Maguire.
Ah.
I thought it was pretty great.
It's really funny to see how annoyed the players are when Pierre Maguire... They win the cup and Pierre Maguire runs up to him and asks him some crazy, sycophantic question that's annoying and stupid. And you could just see that... that disdain and contempt pass across their face.
It's the last person they want to talk to that moment is Gollum.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And they have talked to Pierre Maguire and answer his crazy, his stupid questions. It was really funny to see.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. I have an email from Jim, but it's about our next topic, so I'm going to hold off on the email. But more about the Kings. I know that they seem like the team to beat, but I mean, they weren't great halfway through the season. So, I mean, they made the coaching change, but do we really think that Daryl Sutter is going to be the key to this team's success and they're going to continue to play like this?
I can't see any reason why we should doubt it because...
Well, they weren't playing this way in April.
They had one of the most dominant playoff runs in recent memory.
Absolutely.
I mean, they blew by Vancouver, even though they didn't were missing one of the Sedins. It didn't matter. Like they got ran past them. They destroyed St. Louis, who kicked our ass.
Absolutely.
And they destroyed them. And they didn't have that much trouble with Phoenix either. You know, although I don't consider Phoenix to be that challenging of an opponent, like, you know, Phoenix did still make it to the Western Conference Finals,
right?
You know, so you have to give them some credit. And they beat, you know, two pretty good teams to get there.
Yeah.
In Chicago and Nashville. Beating New Jersey is not the same as beating Pittsburgh at full strength
or Philly
or Boston or the Rangers.
Yeah.
But they still, they did it, and they did it with very few bumps along the way, dude. So I think the Kings are the team to beat, and until someone can, and until we see evidence that that style of play and that Jonathan Quick isn't going to continue to be totally dominant, then yeah, I think they're the best team in the NHL. They are.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right? They are. And
they're not going to change appreciably from this season to the next.
That they might add people because they're going to have the money. And
they might
finally
get better.
Yeah, they might. Hell, why wouldn't you try and sign Ryan Suter?
Yeah.
Why not? You know,
right.
You got the money. You got the money. You let Dustin Penner go. You let, because one thing that's been impressive about their run is their third and fourth line, you know, guys like Richardson and King. You know, those guys are products of their system, right? You know, those are their Ferrios and Wingleses and Mashinters and Desjardins that have come through and like performed at the highest level. And the Sharks haven't had those guys have that kind of impact.
It's true.
So that's huge. That's huge. Because those guys played a big role in that run. So depressing, dude. Depressing.
Yeah, you're bumming me out now.
Sorry. Well, let's move on to, we actually have some, I guess, surprise Shark news, maybe, but maybe not surprising at all. Maybe the most obvious free agent move ever, you know, since we all expected it to really happen, since he basically announced that he wanted to live in the Bay Area, is Brad Stewart's rights being shipped to San Jose in a paper transaction, basically for Andrew Murray's rights, who Detroit has no desire in keeping. Why would you? And a seventh round pick if Stewart signs, which he will. Are you excited about the prospect of Brad Stewart joining the Sharks?
I am. Absolutely, I am. Brad Stewart has turned himself into a good third or fourth defenseman. I know some people have argued more of a fifth or sixth defenseman, and maybe that's something we'll talk about in a second. I like Brad Stewart's play. Certainly when he came to the Sharks, you know, for Sharks fans who've been around a while, you remember he was a number six overall draft pick of the Sharks back in 96?
Matt D'Agostini.
Yeah, 97. 90, well, 97 was the Thornton and Marlowe year, so maybe 98, one of those years. And he was really sort of an offensive defenseman at the time. And after the Joe Thornton trade, where we sent Brad Stewart to Boston, he kicked around a couple teams there, and he sort of remade himself into a more defensive.
Yeah, it really happened in L.A., I think, when he was in L.A., and then he played in Calgary. And he really turned on his career when he was in Detroit.
Yes, and he turned himself into a good defensive defenseman that plays physical. Obviously, he's a high-quality skater. If you don't get to the number six pick, if you're not... and he's a good player. I mean, I wouldn't say he's got exactly the vision and the ability of Vlasic. Vlasic's obviously quite a bit younger, but he's certainly more physical than Vlasic at this point. I think he's willing to put the body out a little bit more than Vlasic is. I think he's a great addition to the Sharks, frankly. And I know of a consequence that you think will happen because of this, which we'll talk about in a second, but I'm happy to see Brad Stewart on the Sharks. And the thing is, I think it's like hometown discount, cha-ching. You know, I think, you know, he's going to sign for not a huge amount of money. What was he making last year? 2.5?
No. He was making in the threes. I'm pretty sure he's making in the high threes.
What's the guess? The 2 to 2.5 range is my guess.
I think he's going to be in the threes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he's going to get in the low threes. And it's a matter of, you know, he's kind of said he wants this to be his last stop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's 32.
Right.
So will Doug Wilson play the 3-year contract game with him mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. say, all right, here's $10 million 3 years.
Right.
You know, and then after when you're 35, we'll take it year by year. You know, if things are going well, but we're not going to be saddled with some sort of 6-year deal with Brad Stewart.
Sure.
I think 3 and 10 is about right. And he certainly would have gotten that, if not more, if he had hit the market.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think his stock necessarily went up when he was at Detroit. And I thought the deal that he signed with Detroit was a pretty fair deal at the time.
If he made like 3.8, you think
he didn't make 3.8. Matt D'Agostini.
We're going to look it up.
Okay, at this point, when you look it up, I'm going to read Jim's email. He said, on Brad Stewart, if he could be signed at a bargain price for the bottom pairing, this will be a great pickup. Otherwise, he's an overpaid cap burden or be asked to take on a larger role than should be expected. I think he'd be great in the 5-6 pairing. So, dude, what do you think about that? Is he a 5-6 defenseman or is he a 3 or 4 defenseman? I mean, he was a 3 or 4 defenseman on Detroit, and they weren't really hurting for D there. I mean, they weren't in terrible shape.
He made 3.75 last year.
3.75. Right? Okay, you were right.
He signed a 4-year, $15 million contract in 2008.
Okay, so let's say 3 to 3.5. Yeah, so 3 years, $10 million. I think that sounds about right.
I think he's a 4-5 on the Sharks. I mean, it depends on how you feel about Justin Braun, you know? And what the Sharks' expectations are of Justin Braun. I mean, I think going into the season, I would imagine that Brad Stewart's going to play with Brent Burns. I mean, that's sort of mm-hmm. how I would pencil it in right now. If Boyle's playing with Vlasic, Burns and Stewart, and then Braun and TBA. You know what I mean? Whoever that other person is, whether it's Demers or Douglas Murray, or you know, we'll get to that in a second. But I know that some people have mentioned that, you know, he had a really bad playoffs this year against Nashville. I think it was like -6 or something, -7. And that his, you know, numbers have gone down significantly. But if you look at the guys that we have around, you know, he's better than Vandermeer, White, Demers, and Douglas Murray. So I don't think anyone can dispute that.
That's
so you'd rather have this guy who still has some mileage on his tires than any of those four. I mean, you really would, right?
I think that's absolutely true. And it would be really unfortunate to lose Douglas Murray. I read a post on an Oilers blog saying the Oilers should trade for Douglas Murray.
Right.
I think it might have been linked by Fear the Finn or somebody else. But
yeah.
And they said, 28 other teams are going to be interested in Douglas Murray.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. But the fact is, there's certainly, I mean, if anybody was thinking that Douglas Murray was a player not appreciated by anybody outside the Sharks and the Sharks fan community, they're sorely mistaken. I mean, clearly other people around the league know who this guy is and what he can do. Certainly they express reservations about his lack of speed, as Kevin Kurtz did after the season was over. And we don't know if Douglas Murray's really going to get any faster. So that's clearly Douglas Murray's Achilles heel here. Does he have the ability to keep up with the game as it is? If the answer is yes, he could be very effective. If the answer is no, then he could sort of be Kyle MacLaren here, you know, at this point.
Oh, I don't know if they're
gonna... No. I don't think... I'm not meaning to say that they will do that,
but... His career could... winding down?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Murray levels those big hits and gets in fights and stuff, you really love the guy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But the game this season did sort of seem to be too fast for him, and there were so many times where we would see him caught out of position or making a bad play, and he was the one with egg on his face, you know, a lot of the time. And if the Sharks are looking to make some changes, I don't know if you're gonna build your team with a number 6 defenseman making $2.5 million, which is what it would be if you kept Douglas Murray. You know, you didn't trade for Brad Stewart to give him three and a quarter or whatever we're projecting to have him play 14 minutes, like, that's not going to happen. Like, he's here to play 18 to 20 and play a lot of time on the kill. And I see them, if you're looking at the same slot on the team, and Stewart just took Murray's roster spot.
Yeah.
To me.
I think that's a fair assessment. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. You could certainly see Douglas Murray being a draft day trade, for instance.
Sure.
Something along those lines. You know, we're going to have to see. But I it seems like most of the Sharks fans that I've seen are pretty excited about this move. You know, clearly it's always a nice feeling as a fan to hear that a guy, you know, left and wants to come back and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's validating and all that crap. But I do still like him as a player, without doubt.
I think it can make the team better. The team will be better if you look at losing Colin White and Vandermeer and replacing them with Brad Stewart. You're already better, you know, and there's got to be more moves to come, but that's one of the moves, you know, in the stable of defensemen, you'd rather have Brad Stewart than the two-headed trash can of Vandermeer and Colin White.
Right.
So upgrade already. Right. Upgrade.
Well,
so,
dude, I think that segues into our next discussion where we're going to talk about the different free agents that the Sharks have.
Right.
And where they might end up, if they might be back and so forth. I know next week, you know, next Friday is the draft, so we'll probably talk about the draft next week. Another topic that I don't hear many people talking about so much is the CBA.
Yeah.
And I think there's a distinct possibility that there might be another lockout this year. I know a lot of people don't really want to talk about that, but that's a topic I think we should push off until next week. But that's something to think about, especially when that's something I'm going to be thinking about when we're talking about whether we're going to re-sign some of these free agents and what they're going to mean money-wise. Because, you know, for instance, if we keep going on this trajectory, the cap hit next year is about $70 million. But if the NHL decides to go, say, the way the NBA has gone and go down to a 50%, you know, revenue share for the players, then that cap hit's going to be a lot lower than that. So you could see teams not wanting to commit that kind of money. So with that in mind, dude, let's jump into this discussion. Where do you want to go first here?
Well, the Sharks have 14 players signed for next year, which is the third fewest of NHL teams.
Really?
Yeah. So that's not good. When you look at how much cap space they have, if the cap is $70 million, they have $14.7 million cap space, which is 24th in available cap. So they have... They're very high on the list of fewest players signed and very high on the list of least amount of cap space available. So that combination together doesn't make you very excited, right?
Yeah, but then again, none of the absolute best players on the Sharks are really vulnerable. You don't have a Zach Parise,
right,
who I'm reading this week. It's Minnesota's basically going to offer him the entire state of Minnesota to come to the Wild.
Sure.
In which case, the Devils have lost their best player. So sure, the Devils may only have one free agent and a lot of cap space, but if they can't sign Zach Parise, they get a ton worse.
Right, right. That I guess... The Sharks problem is the other end, where they have some players signed that they probably would love to give to Minnesota for the state of whatever they're offering, you know.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting tap dance for Doug Wilson, especially with the CBA. But let's look at the players that are signed first, and I'll kind of throw these guys out here to you and tell me what you think in terms of keep them, no, any question about Joe Thornton returning to San Jose.
I don't think so. I he played well in the playoffs. He's stepped up as a captain. I think he's still a good player. I mean, it would signal a gigantic sea change in the way that Doug Wilson is thinking. I don't think either of us think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to go the Philadelphia Flyers route and trade their two best players. So,
but what if you were offered a deal like that? I mean, if you were offered like the 7 pick and who's the player? Anna Bradenshen and like, you know, if you were offered some sort of deal like that, would you be tempted?
Oh yeah, I'd be tempted. Absolutely. Considering it seems like the Sharks are definitely third best in the Pacific Division right now. Why wouldn't you want to...
Like if they offered that same deal, Shen, Simmons, and the pick for Joe Thornton right now, would you do it?
Oh man, that's a tough call. I think I might do it.
So I think the phone lines are open.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd be tempted.
Even on Jumbo, I think they're open.
Well, he's got a no trade or no move or something.
He Yeah, I'm, and who knows what the mist and the fog was at the end of the season, where there was some sort of wink, wink. We don't seem to know everything about everybody's no trade clauses, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, who knows what that true situation is. But when you look at the guys who you're interested in and maybe moving out of town, I think Joe is maybe second lowest on the list. You know, I don't think you're looking to move him right now. He's gotten better.
In terms of, if you had to rank all the Sharks with players that you think you would want to see moved, Joe wouldn't be near the top. Basically, like you just said. I mean, Marlowe would be ahead of him.
Yeah, well, let's talk about him next.
Yeah, Marlowe certainly, I think, would be on the block. I mean, he's the Ryan Carter, not the Ryan Carter, the Jeff Carter of the Sharks. You know, the talented player that maybe management isn't so keen on. I don't know. I think both of those guys are almost a package. If one of them's going to go, they're probably going to try and get rid of both of them. When in fact, you could make a case for maybe Ryan Clough, who might be the next player on your list, who might not, you know, really should be in a Sharks uniform anymore. He's making a lot of money and didn't have a great year.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, when you talk about Clough, you know, he really is the only player on the Sharks that has that power forward grit style. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you get rid of him.
Right. What do you got left?
Where are you? I mean, you know, you may as well just be the, you know, 2014 men's figure skating team. You know, I mean, it doesn't make you feel real good about a team that has almost no grit, losing the only guy who seems to be willing to get his nose dirty that plays every night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would be willing to consider moving Clough because of how ineffective he was as a skilled player this year,
mm-hmm.
but you better darn well have a plan on how to replace him if you're going to do that.
Right.
You can't have Logan Couture running around out there without someone who can watch his back. And that was what would happen with Clough. I think Clough's going to be back. I think Doug Wilson values his presence on this roster, but I've been pretty clear that I think Patrick Marleau, they have to find a way to move him. It's time. It's time to cut the cord with him.
Yeah.
He is the cloud of playoff memories past that is going to forever hover over this team. You know, you strip him of the captaincy, his failures this year in the playoffs, his other past failures when he was sick in other playoff games, and mm-hmm. his long, streaky badness at times, and his just overall blasé attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. I hope that they find a way to move him in an appropriate manner.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that you're not just going to give him away. You don't give away a 30 goal scorer.
No,
but
I'm with you.
This is, if you want to make a bold move and you want to try and change the culture of this team, if you're going to keep Todd McClellan, I don't think you can keep them both, dude.
Right. Like, then you can't keep everybody. You can't keep all
different?
Those guys.
Like, nothing's different.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, let's go to Joe Pavelski next. Like, I mean, Joe Pavelski's got to be one of the best deals in the NHL at $4 million. When you look at the Avs just gave David Jones $4 million, it's a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Pavelski, although the knock on him now is, where was Joe Pavelski when we needed him in the playoffs?
Right.
You know, the last 2 years, he's turtled up in the Western Conference Finals. So is he as good when it counts? Like, would you rather have Joe Pavelski or Rick Nash?
That's tough, because no one knows what Rick Nash is going to do in that situation either.
Right.
So it's not like Rick Nash has had some sort of like playoff success.
Right. But Rick Nash has played well on an Olympic. Well,
so is Joe Pavelski.
But someone won a gold medal.
Right. And not because of Rick Nash. Okay.
Yeah, that's
true. And Joe Pavelski was pretty key in the USA's effort.
Yeah. I mean, any deal to get Rick Nash is going to have Joe Pavelski in it. It is. So, amongst the lots of other stuff. So that's a key question that a lot of Sharks fans should ask themselves right now is what would you rather have? And
that's the poll question.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Would you rather have Pavelski or Nash?
That's a tough one.
Would you rather have Martin Havlat basically unmovable because of his injury history. And, you know, if he's going to be the guy who we had in the playoffs and the last 20 games of the season, I don't want to move him.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to 40 quality games for him.
Let's say 45. Let's be optimistic.
Oh, he's going to earn his $5 million, dude.
Dude, I read on CapGeek today that Michael Hanzus actually has a no movement clause.
Sure. Well,
how is that possible? Come on.
Yeah. That's a, that's,
oh, that's so bad.
That's got to be Doug Wilson's worst contract in his history as a GM, right?
I mean, as it's a 2-year deal. So, I mean, but it's not
that. He was so bad last year.
But who could have called that? I mean, we were excited when Michael Hanzus signed.
Dean Lombardi called it. Let him walk away and they won a cup.
I guess you're right.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember there were several other players on our list higher than Michael Hanzus.
Oh, sure.
And when we signed Hanzus, we were like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we were jumping up and down.
No.
Like it was Christmas.
Not like when, you know, when Ken Huskins resigned.
If there is an amnesty clause in the new CBA, do you even consider not using it on Hanzus?
No, you have to.
You have to get rid of that deal.
Absolutely.
You end up paying him the money, but it doesn't count against the cap. There's no other player. I mean, some people might advocate for it to be used against Havlat. You just can't because he can actually play.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like Hanzus.
If he's healthy.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not interested. I don't care what he did in the World Championship of Hockey. Not interested. Right. Logan Couture, untouchable, basically, right?
He's
right?
Untouchable.
I mean, you know, you're not even going to consider moving him right now, you know, for anyone who would be available.
Would you trade? Okay, here's just a random shot in the dark. Not that it would really happen ever. Would you trade Logan Couture for the number one overall pick and then Nile Yakupov?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Because I think I would.
No, because you don't know.
That's all we're talking about as far as I'm concerned.
I know, but that guy could be Patrick Stefan.
Or it could be Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, but you don't know. I mean, with Couture, you know you have a 60, 70-point scorer.
Yeah.
The other kid, you don't know. And I think the Sharks still...
People are pretty high on Nile Yakupov.
Yeah, but people still think the Sharks can win right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's
pointless talking about it because it's never going to happen.
Some people have said that because the Sharks got Brad Stewart, that means Dan Boyle is going to be traded.
I don't understand.
True or false?
I honestly don't understand that line of thinking.
Not even the same player.
They're not the same player at all. It's not like, oh, Brad Stewart's going to come in and score 45 points. It's not going to happen. So you're going to get rid of your best offensive defenseman, one of the better power play quarterbacks in the league for a guy that has no power play quarterbacking ability.
Yeah. I'm going to make this really clear. Trading Dan Boyle would be stupid.
Yeah, it would be a disaster.
Stupid. And it's not going to happen. The offensive defenseman who's the GM is not going to trade the offensive defenseman that he worked so hard to get.
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
No.
Next issue.
Okay. Brent Burns, obviously untouchable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this was another player that Doug Wilson coveted, I think, for a long time. He gave up a lot to get him.
I'm expecting an improvement out of Brent Burns this year.
I think we have to. And he did not have a bad year. He just didn't have the year that I think offensively we were expecting, but he still was pretty high in defensemen and goals.
Yeah, he was good.
You know, Mark Edward Vlasic is a must keep and a guy you need to seriously look at extending. And now he's got 1 year left on his deal. That's a guy who's a core player and he's really turned the corner. And you keep him, right?
Yeah, he's not a guy that can be replaced easily at all. It is not easy to go and get a Mark Edward Vlasic on the market. It's just they're not out there.
What are the odds on Douglas Murray returning percentage wise? What are you giving it?
See, I'm gonna go higher than you. I'm gonna go, you know, considering the platooning they did last year with Vandermeer and White, I'm gonna say 60% for Douglas Murray. I know you're probably gonna go lower than that.
I'm gonna say 10%. I really think that the money that he is making and the Stewart acquisition, I just don't see Doug Wilson financially committing $2.5 million to Douglas Murray to play 14 minutes.
Maybe we can get Nal Yakupov out of the Oilers for
maybe,
Douglas Murray.
Maybe. Jason Demers, borrowed time.
He's by far the biggest question mark on the Sharks, my opinion. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's the guy that, you know, you have a pretty good idea where some of these other guys are going to go, and we'll talk about him in a second. But Jason Demers, I think, to me, he's got one more year to prove that he can even... I mean, 2 years ago, we were so high on this guy, and now he's a distant afterthought to Justin Braun.
Oh, yeah.
And so, can Jason Demers turn himself into a steady NHL player? He's got 82 games to figure it out, and then he's going to be Steve Bernier.
Yeah. He might not even get 82 games because... Yeah. You know, there's going to be some other guys in camp. I'm sure the Sharks will add another veteran defenseman, some mm-hmm. guy, a Vandermeer type,
right?
You know, on a minimum contract to come in. And then you've got some players who are talented, some college free agents, some Sharks draft picks, and, you know, even a guy like Nick Petrecki or, you know, Matt Irwin or a Conrad Abtelhauser who are going to be sniffing yep. around, you know, that are talented players. So I don't think Jason Demers is a lock to even be on the team.
No,
period,
I don't think so.
You know, Antti Niemi.
Well, he's the obvious number one. And Thomas
Do you think
Price
that there's any sort of shopping going around, or is that just kind of naive or wishful thinking?
I think that's naivety. I don't think that's happening.
He's making too much money, I think. Yeah. You know, he's making 3.8. I don't think anyone is going to be interested in that. I don't think anyone's going to be interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's a worse contract than Michael Hanzus, but I mean, we talked about it at the time, and I still believe. I mean, this is a buy high situation.
Do you use the amnesty on Antti Niemi?
It's not a bad idea.
Really interesting. That's the poll question.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, and then...
Who do you use the amnesty on? Hanzus or Niemi?
Yeah, okay.
Because
we'll do that.
You could advocate and say, okay, you know, this is a bad deal. $3.8 million for a couple more years. For a guy who...
As a reality, though, we're talking about fans sitting around a freaking card table here, okay? let's be honest and talk about how GMs and, you know, sports people think. I mean, they're talking about trying to keep their jobs. You don't cut a number one goalie just loose out in... without any plan to replace him with a bunch of minor leaguers and a guy like Thomas Greiss who's never played more than 10 or 15 games in a single season.
Right. Well, I mean, there would have
from
to
a
be.
Practical from a practical perspective, there is a 0% chance that Antti Niemi will be amnestied. Zero.
Yeah, I mean there would have to be a clear plan in place to replace him, but are the Sharks happy with him as their goalie for the next 3 years, you know?
Probably not, but I was looking at the UFA list, you know who's near the top. Cristobal Huet. Finally a free agent. Cristobal Huet. We've been waiting.
Our restricted free agents, guys who I consider to be must signs, Tommy Wingles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lock. Andrew Desjardins.
Yes.
Is a lock to re-sign. Justin Braun.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't even know if he's trade bait anymore. I think this guy's a keeper.
Yeah, I think you got
to keep him. I think... we're talking about him being included in a potential Nash deal. I don't even think I'm willing to do that at this point. I think
I would to get Nash.
I don't, but if you're talking Pavs and Braun,
yeah, that's
like
a lot.
It's too much. Yeah, like that's too much. I think Alex Stalock.
Yeah,
you got to keep him, but you know you've got this huge traffic jam in the minors and goal. James Shepard is a restricted, a guy we know absolutely nothing about firsthand, mm-hmm. but giving up a third round pick, you got to figure.
You have to take it to the end, right?
They're planning on re-signing him and they're probably planning on having him play. Here are two question marks. TJ Gagliardi.
That's the one. He seemed to be in the doghouse from the get-go. He was in the doghouse in Colorado, in the doghouse seemingly after 2 weeks on the Sharks.
He had a back injury.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
From Tom McClellan using the paddle on him?
Yeah, seriously.
Bad, Gagliardi, bad.
I want to see him resigned. I don't know if it will
I
happen.
Think, no, they will. I don't think they can. I mean, that's also major egg on McClellan's face.
Right.
They're planning on trying to get the most out of this guy. Ben Ferriero.
That's the one. That's the one. I'm not so sure about Ben Ferriero. I don't think I would.
Why would you use the roster spot? For a guy who
I might
has
offer,
had...
I might offer him a two-way.
Yeah, Yeah, but I guess. I mean, then you don't have a guaranteed roster spot, right?
Well, you don't have a guaranteed roster spot either way. It's just that he would be making more money if he played in the minors.
But he would count as one of the contracts.
He counts as one of the contracts anyway.
Right, but I'm saying don't sign him and use the contract on someone else.
Right, yeah.
I just think we know what we have in Ben Feria, which is not much.
Right.
I mean, the guy has shown moments where you go, wow, you play him on in the top six and he might be able to score some goals. And then you realize that Ryan Vesey could do the same thing.
Right.
You know, in moments.
He's now playing in like second league, you know, yeah. Deutschland league.
I think Ben Ferriero has had a chance and he hasn't done much. And it wouldn't be surprising to see him back. But I think it's time to look at someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use the contracts in other spots.
All right, dude. UFAs?
UFAs. Torrey Mitchell.
He's gone.
100% sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% sure.
Goodbye.
I there was a guy I was talking to. This is a fourth-hand rumor. Don't put any stock into it. But he had some sort of inside information. Someone knew someone who knew someone who knew Torrey Mitchell or something. And apparently he's already has the, at least according to this fourth-hand source, he already has the attitude that he is not coming back. That they're not going to sign him. Or maybe they'll offer him league minimum, but he's not going to take it.
Well, I'm sure Doug Wilson seems like a straight shooter, and he probably told him in that meeting. I mean, I know last year when we were moving, the big deal with my movers was that they had just moved Scott Nickel.
Yeah.
And this was before we knew Scott Nickel was not coming back.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess Scott Nickel's not coming back. So
yeah.
My movers just moved Scott Nickel in the middle of June. So
right.
We knew he was gone. So, and they said the same thing about Jamal Mayers. So,
right.
Okay. The movers know everything. Maybe we should call the moving company.
We should.
Dominic Moore, does the news about his wife's health change your opinion about whether the Sharks should keep Dominic Moore?
Yes, it does.
It does.
It does. It does. It changes my mind. It certainly changes the prism through which you have to view the last 2 months of the season in the playoffs, or whenever that announcement came down. I don't know exactly when it was, but I mean, these guys are not robots. I mean, your wife has cancer, a terrible disease or some health issue. You can't honestly expect the guy to perform at the same level. It's just not possible. Maybe there's a couple androids out there that can pull that kind of thing and compartmentalize their brains in such a way that they can continue to perform. Dominic Moore, understandably, is not one of those people.
Right.
I think that certainly puts that terrible playoff performance in a new light. The Sharks are still very much needing defensive third line players. I think Dominic Moore will be back.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not saying I'm excited. That's excited about it. I'm just saying, yeah, I think he's going to be back.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think you got to give him the benefit of doubt, but I also think that I don't think he's going to be signed before July 1st. I think they'll let him go to market and try and maybe get him for a little less, because I don't think anyone's going to be throwing any sort of huge cash money at him.
It's possible.
Unlike the person who I put as priority number one, which is re-signing Daniel Winnick.
Absolutely.
That's got to happen before July 1st.
Yes.
They can't let him go to market because he is a very valuable player. I think a lot of teams will be sniffing around Daniel Winnick, and the price will just go up and up and up. So if you don't lock up Daniel Winnick, that McGinn trade is garbage, dude.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, he was sort of the crown jewel of that trade. I mean, you look at these free agent lists, and you don't see anybody that's, you know, last year there was Joel Ward and there was these other players. There is no Daniel Winnick here.
Right. There's no Maxim Talbot, like someone who you really wanted, right?
The closest we have is we have Sammy Paulson, who's, you know, 34.
Well, I mean, there's a player, you know, like a Jared Stoll, who you'd probably be really interested in, but he's not going to go to market, you know? I mean, they're going to... And Sammy Paulson was awful when he got traded to Vancouver. I mean, that guy is done.
Right.
Brad Winchester, back or gone?
I think he's gone. I'd rather have him back, but I think he's gone. I have a soft spot in my heart for Brad Winchester.
I like Brad Winchester too, but I want the Sharks. I want McClellan and Doug Wilson to make a pact that we will not sign any players that McClellan does not commit to play.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
You know, Winchester just rotting.
Yeah.
Rotting like an old banana.
Right.
Like in the locker room.
Yes.
You're not going to play him. At a certain point, you're not going to play the guy. You have no trust in him.
Right.
Obviously, Vandermeer and Colin White, bye-bye.
Yeah, they're
gone. Okay?
No,
and Brad Stewart, staying. So that's our current feelings on the Sharks roster, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take a look at players will be available and the draft next week.
Yes, we will, dude. But in anticipation of that, dude, yes. I created a little game show. I know we're 45 minutes in, but we didn't go last week. So there's no time cap this week, dude. I'm not putting a
what?
Limit on it.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
In honor of our 200th episode, we got to have a little fun.
I'm ready.
We have the adult beverages here.
Okay.
We're talking about hockey. You know, the playoffs are over, so that's a little bittersweet. But now we can start getting excited for another, frankly, exciting part of the season I know you and I both enjoy, which is the draft.
Yes.
And free agency. So I have a game show for us, dude. No. Here we go. You ready?
Okay. Hey! This is great. Do your game show voice.
Coming at you. Welcome to. So, do the title of this game show is "Where He At?" So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be naming unrestricted free agents. Okay,
yeah.
And these are going to be players that we all have heard of.
Okay,
but a lot of these players have been moving around.
Okay.
So it's difficult to remember.
Right.
Where they are.
So I have to.
Where they at? So I'm going to give you a name. You have to tell me where. The player is currently signed.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'm going to say, you know, we start and we say, for instance, we say, okay, Matt Carl is an unrestricted free agent. And you would say,
Philadelphia.
Exactly. So,
how many are there?
Oh, I mean, there's a,
okay,
there's
right.
a huge list.
Okay.
I'm just going to be picking. So, I'm going to try. I want everybody to play at home. I know that.
Okay.
So, I don't want you to answer right away.
Okay.
Because I want people.
And my iPad is closed. I'm not looking at anything. Okay.
So, you know, some of these are going to seem easy. But they're actually not that easy,
okay.
right? Because they're players that we all know. So just wait a moment or two so that
okay.
people listening can try and answer for themselves and see if they can play okay. along and beat you
okay.
at the game. Okay, dude.
All right.
Number one.
We have music?
Yeah, we can go tense music if you
want. Oh, no. Let's do the game show music.
What, that's It's really
okay.
loud.
Okay,
and it's
okay.
The
no
theme.
Music. No music. No music.
Okay. Well, what we can do...
okay. All right.
Is
okay.
that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Okay. Number one. This might be a little hard. Chris Campoli. Where is Chris Campoli currently signed?
Montreal.
Nice, dude. Very good. Okay.
May I take your order?
Stop. Stop that.
Hello.
Oh,
welcome
man.
To Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's good.
I'll have two double decker. Stop it. The drive-thru is going crazy. All right. Okay. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. So
okay.
let me fix that if I can. That whole thing and this. Okay. So okay, the next one okay. is that was actually pretty tough. So I think I might go maybe slightly easier to keep everybody in the game. We will go with Jochen Hecht.
Dude. Buffalo.
Correct. Ding.
Hey!
All right. Hey, and it's not playing again. Okay, let's get a little crazier here. Let's get a little crazy. Jay Pandolfo. Where is Jay Pandolfo? I'll give you a hint. It's not the New Jersey Devils.
I know this one.
Dude?
Islanders.
Dude, you're awesome. You are doing very, very well.
Thank you. 132 toothpicks. 132.
Dude... You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta keep getting harder for you because you're doing too well here. We're gonna go with Tom Kostopoulos.
Oh no,
Tom Kostopoulos. We all know him. We all know the name. We all have seen Tom Kostopoulos play. Where is Tom Kostopoulos?
Calgary,
dude. You're insane.
Yeah.
You are insane, brother. Oh, man. I'm going to have to go down to the guys making league minimum now.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. All right, dude. Here we go.
Okay.
Let's go with Brandon Yip. Brandon Yip. We certainly remember him.
Okay.
On a specific team. But yeah. Doug has this?
I know it.
I know that you on. The, I know that you listening at home also have this because Doug has it. He's grimacing.
I'm pretty sure in Nashville.
Yeah. Jesus H.
Wow. Roar!
Look at this guy.
Come on, dude.
I cannot
Come
stump
on, dude.
Him.
Stump me, dude.
I cannot stump him, dude. I got to go back.
Next
to the
Next one for Vegas.
Absolutely not. You're too good at this. I'm gonna have to go with a name that we've used many times, but it might be a little easier than the others. Mike Zygmantis. We've talked about Mike Zygmantis many times on this show, mostly because that's just a good hockey name. Mike Zigomanis?
This one's really hard.
I know some of you have it at home. Mike Zigomanis. Where is he right now? Where are you at, Mike Zigomanis?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this. Phoenix.
Dude.
Pittsburgh.
Dude.
Ska, KHL. Where?
He's in Toronto.
Oh.
He's in Toronto, Mike
Zigomanis. I didn't know that one, dude.
So that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Oh, but he is. Oh, but he is. Okay, dude. I think we're going to have two more here.
Okay, two more.
Two more. This is okay. So we that's Mike those are Zigomanis. Those are pretty easy. We got some pretty easy ones. We'll go medium hard. Mike Motto. Where's Mike Motto at?
Mike Motto is with New Jersey.
Sorry, dude. Mike Motto.
Oh, wait,
actually,
hold on. He was with the Islanders, but I thought he got traded to Boston. Damn it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that doesn't really count, but that's correct. That's correct. Dude. Okay. But right, pretty good. Right. Pretty good. Okay, so now we're really gonna go here.
Ah, shoot. I was doing so good.
Yeah, you were doing really good, dude.
I figured that one out. I should have taken more time. Can I use a lifeline?
Yeah. Let's see here. See, now we're getting down to it.
All right, this is the big one for the 200th episode, dude.
Okay, for
all the marbles.
The 200th episode, dude. I'm gonna go with an X shark, Sean Sullivan. Where is Sean Sullivan at?
Oh, Sean Sullivan. Oh man, I feel like I know this one too. It's an Eastern Conference team.
If you know this, you're ridiculous. Dude, I'm going to have to ask for an answer.
New Jersey.
Ah! Dude, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. He is actually signed with the Florida Panthers. Dun, 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 dun. But, dude, it was a really good effort.
Dude, thank you so much. I will enjoy this lovely bottle of car wash
and a lifetime supply of Rice Aroni, the San Francisco tree. So, dude, I'm glad you enjoyed the game show. I hope you, those of you listening,
I did enjoy that.
Enjoyed
Thank
the game
you,
show.
Dude.
And we'll have to do that again at some point. And remember, next week we're going to be talking about the draft. We're going to be talking more about the CBA and other free agents that are on other teams. I know other blogs and people are already talking about it. We'll be talking about it. Draft is always a fun time. There's trades and there's lots of things happening. So we'll be talking about all that all next week here on the podcast.
Awesome, dude. See you then.
See you then.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.